Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 9. Jeremiah is known for being the weeping prophet. Jeremiah said, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness." If you drop down to verse 25, I'm going to bounce back over here, but in verse 25, to give you a little idea of what Jeremiah is talking about, when he said because of the prophets, he said, "I've heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit, of the deceit of their own heart." So that was going on in Jeremiah's day. That's going on in our day. Anybody that would tell you there's another way to heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ is deceiving you and is a liar. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. The Bible said in verse 10, "For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. In my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Jeremiah, I don't say this to build up Brother Joe, but Jeremiah in his spirit is a lot like Brother Joe is in his spirit when he's praying this morning. "Lord, I'm troubled for America. Lord, I'm troubled about what I see. I'm troubled about what I hear. Because I see our country going in a direction that is contrary to the Word of God." And so this morning I want to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, begin a series of messages. And I told my wife this morning what was in my heart. And she said, "Well, that should take care of the month of May." Now, I don't know about all that. Amen. But being you take Brother Otis out for two services, and then Mother's Day night, Brother Larry will be preaching. We're excited about that. He's got some family going to be in. Maybe it might take the better part of the month of May. I don't know. But let's pray together. Father, I love you this morning simply because you first loved me. And Lord, you put that love in my heart for you, for your people, for sinners, for the Word of God, for the house of God. God, would you save me? You caused me to love these things. Lord, I thank you this morning for that love. God, I'm asking you again, in the name of Jesus, touch our dear sister this morning. God, I know there's a lot of distance, a lot of miles between us and where she is. God, I know the Holy Ghost can close that gap up in a hurry. I pray you'd visit with her this morning, Lord. Help her to know, Lord, she's in great hands. God, take care of her, we ask you to, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to begin looking at a thought this morning. The pleasant places in the wilderness are dried up. I looked up in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament it would be Hebrew, what that pleasant place is, what it talked about, what it was talking about, and it comes from a word, it's spelled N-A-A-H, and it's pronounced Na'al, But it means a home, figuratively a pasture, a habitation, a house, a pleasant place. Jeremiah said here, Jeremiah 23, that the pleasant places in the wilderness have dried up. I don't know about you, but I believe we're living in a generation when we really need to strengthen the things that remain, and when we really need to be aware that if Satan has his way, if the flesh has its way, if the world has its way, the pleasant places will dry up again. Amen. And God wants us to look at some things here this morning, and I trust that it'll be a blessing. In the first message in the series, I want to talk about the pleasant place of the heart. How many knows that when you got saved, Jesus moved into your heart and into your life? The songwriter said it like this. He said, "You ask me how I know He lives." He said, "I'll just tell you how He lives within my heart." Amen. I tell you, that night I went down dead in trespasses and sin, and I come up very much alive. Amen. He quickened me by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. He gave me new life. Amen. I was born again, born from above. The heart. The heart. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, that night, when I came into the church building, my heart was in bad shape. It was wicked. It was defiled. I was lost. And God took a place that was very unpleasant that night and made a pleasant place out of it. Amen. Give me peace in my heart. As we examine the heart, I want to give you just a few things that if we notice these things that about a pleasant place, when the heart is a pleasant place, let me just give you some things quickly this morning. I could probably preach an hour and a half right here. Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, when it's a pleasant place, it's a washed heart. It is a heart that has been made clean in the blood of the Lamb. Brother Brian, I had every intention of talking to you before the service about what I'm about to preach, because I wanted to know something that I'm not sure about generic drugs. You can nod at me, brother. It maybe help me a little bit from the pulpit, but you know, I know they have generic drugs. Are they just as good as the real drug? It depends. Okay, it depends. Okay. Okay, well, let me say it like this and see if I can get a nod. Are some of the generic drugs just as good as the original, so to speak? Okay. You say, "Preach, I don't know where that come from." Well, yesterday morning I got up to take a shower, and I don't know what was going on. I'm developing allergies, I guess. And I just, the water ran on my eyes, and it felt like somebody throwed sand in my eyes. And so I had Brother John to stop at Walgreens and get me some eye drops. I requested Visine. They say it gets the red out. And I look like, I was in bad shape. I couldn't even drive to church yesterday morning. Brother John pulled out this bottle, and he's just like I am. If he can save a dollar, he's going to. Amen. And he said, "Preacher, that druggist over there told me this is just as good." You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going somewhere." I asked for Visine, and I got something just as good. Miss E, we went back there in that closet, and she put them eye drops in there. Boy, did it soothe, and boy, did it help. And Brother John, I believe he was right. I believe it's just as good. Amen. My wife goes over to a grocery place, and she gets some detergent, and it'll say that this is the equivalent of Tide, and it'll say this is the equivalent of Dawn. Are you listening to me this morning? And she gets it, and she gets big bottles of it, amen, and it lasts a long time. And to be honest with you, it works just as good, amen. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're trying to say. Well, they say Visine gets the red out, and they say that Tide gets the dirt out. But I want you to know there's only one thing that'll ever get the sin out of a man's heart. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know there is no generic for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It'll have to be that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Or that individual will never have their heart washed. Never be clean. Beloved, this morning, Brother Rodley Salling, he used to say there's a difference between being washed white and whitewashed. I tell you, when you get saved, you don't get whitewashed. You get washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen to a couple of verses of the Bible. My friend, first of all, this washed heart for sinners that I'll talk about for a moment. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I'm pure from my sin. Listen, I believe that's a good question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Not one of us. My friend, not one of us can say we made our heart clean. But we came to the one, blessed be God, who could make our heart clean. And His name is Jesus. He made our heart clean in His own precious blood. Come now, the Bible said, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I tell you, God can take a blackened heart and wash it in red blood and make it just as white as the driven snow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I'll tell you, it's not just anybody's blood that can get sin out. It's Jesus' blood. A lot of the songwriters, I'm not fussing, not trying to be picky, but I don't like to hear songs that just one drop of His blood. My friend, everybody in this building that's got sugar diabetes has to give up a drop or two every day just to check their sugar. My friend, Jesus didn't give a drop. He gave it all. I tell you, praise the Lord. He gave His life. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And He gave His all that you and I could be born of God and be born again. But not only is the heart a pleasant place when the sinner gets washed, but let me say something to you. I'll say it from experience. Maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe you have. But since I've been saved, there have been times that my heart became an unpleasant place. I said, since. Can I tell you the same remedy that works for sinners will work for saints? You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, the Bible said it like this in Psalm chapter 51. David, what a psalm. What a psalm. What a prayer. Amen. The man after God's own heart had messed up royally. Then he said, created me a clean heart, O God. He said, my heart has become unpleasant. It was eating his lunch. You can read that psalm. He said, my sin is ever before me. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, sin will eat your lunch. If you can sin and it don't bother you, you just need to be born again. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Bible said in 1 John 1, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's not being written to sinner folk. That's being written to the saints of God. The heart is a pleasant place when it's a washed heart. If we say that we have no sin, He said, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The pleasant place of the heart. How many remembers when God made your heart a pleasant place? I'll stop and tell a little story. Brother Jones, I'm having a hard time remembering Brother Jones's first name. Somebody help me. Brother James. Not the Kool-Aid. Amen. Not the Kool-Aid, Jim Jones, but Brother James Jones. Amen. And Brother James told this story in a conference years ago, and I never shall forget it. He said that this man, he worked for the fire department. He would work 24 hours, and he was off 24 hours. He'd work 24 hours, be off 24 hours. And he said this man worked for the fire department. He and his wife both were Catholics. I'm just telling the story. I'm not down in Catholics. I'm just telling the story like he told it. Amen. I believe there's some saved Catholics. You might take offense to that. Amen. But I've talked to some that really trusted Christ as their Savior. Amen. They wasn't trusting Mary. Listen, I said some, not many. You ain't going to be saved believing what the Catholic Church teaches. I can tell you that right now. You'll have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Amen. These people were Catholics. And Brother Jones said some people visited and left some gospel tracts. And this man was at work when they visited. So the wife, she didn't allow him to come in, but she took the gospel literature. Long story short, she went back in the bedroom and she sat there on the edge of the bed and she began to read that gospel. How many believes the Word of God's got power? I believe that. Amen. I believe if we really believe that strongly, we'd do a little bit more to get the Word of God out. Amen. Amen. And long story short, she read the gospel tract and she trusted Jesus. She got saved. Well, her name was Rose. And when Al addressed Rose, he called her Rose, honey. And when Rose addressed Al, she called him Sweet Al. Kind of reminds you of Sister Jean and Brother Dennis back there. Sugar, amen. You'll get that after a while, amen. Listen to what happened. Al come in from work, and his wife was different. You know what God had done, went and done? It done went and saved her. She was so different. He knew something was different. He had done took that heart that was not pleasant and made it a pleasant place. Amen. That's what the Lord had done in the bedroom, believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus and receiving him as our Savior. And Al couldn't figure, he didn't know nothing. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. The only thing he could come up with in his mind is she must be cheating on me. So he started swapping shifts with other people at the fire department so he could check her out. See where she is going and see what she is doing. He done that for 2 weeks. She wasn't doing anything wrong, Brother David. She was doing just her routine. She would just finally he give up. He said, honey, Rose, honey. He said, something happened to you. I don't know what happened to you, but something happened to you. And I got to know right now what happened to you. She said, Sweet Al, I got saved. He looked at her and said, I don't know what saved is, but whatever it is, I want it. I'll tell you, beloved, God, give us that pleasantness in our heart that somebody else would want what we have. Amen. He got saved as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The pleasant heart is a heart that's been washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let me give you this secondly. I'll start in on this. I don't know that I'll finish it. But as soon as a heart is washed, the next thing that is just logical, and it'll be, my friend, it's actually supernatural, but it just comes naturally to the washed heart. It'll be a worshiping heart. It'll be a heart that desires the Word of God. It'll be a heart that desires the house of God. It'll be a heart that desires to pray and fellowship with God. It'll be a heart that desires to tell somebody else what God has done for you. Amen. It'll be a worshiping heart. Listen to what the Bible said in Luke chapter 17. And they lifted up their voices. These are those lepers. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, where there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? There not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. I'll tell you, thank God when we get washed, we ought to want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man that was possessed with demons. And Jesus went to where he was. He was a maniac. He was cutting on himself. They would chain him and he'd just break the chains like they were straw. I mean, just like what they call that, baling twine, grass string. He would just break them right off. He was possessed with devils. Jesus, he spoke to those devils and they had to get out. They ran into that. He was naked. He was cutting on himself. He was among the tombs. Amen. They ran out and went into that herd of swine and ran down into the sea and drowned themselves. The word of God said about that man, listen, now this is a man who got his heart washed. He got his heart right with God. You say, preacher, where did they find him? They found him clothed. He put some clothes on. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus. He wanted to worship. And they found him in his right mind. Amen. I say, that's what, my friend, God can do for the heart of man. He said, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing now. I want to go with you. Let me tell you this. You ever get saved, you'll want to go with him. Amen. You want to go with him? I can remember. Oh, I don't know exactly where I was, but I can remember it was within that 24 hours. And for 2 weeks, I didn't know my feet were on the ground. I was so happy, so happy, so happy that he would save such a wretch as me. Somewhere, Brother Rose, in that first 24 hours, I said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever it is you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. I want to say it again this morning, 29 years later, wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to be, by the grace of God, I'll be. You say, what is that? It's worship. That's saying, Lord, you're worthy of my life. That's saying, Lord, I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. I want to glorify you in my body and in my spirit, which are the Lord's. Person that's been washed wants to worship. I believe with all of my heart, you can see example after example in the Scripture where people, they love the Lord. Why, preacher? Because he first loved them. I don't know about you, but it blew my mind when I found out he loved me. That the likes of him could love the likes of me. I've heard people say this, and I want to repeat it. I believe it's worthy of repeating. If he could save me, he could save anybody. If he could take my old unworthy, wicked, unpleasant spirit and heart and make something pleasant out of it, make a pleasant place out of it, he can do that for anybody. A worshiping heart. You remember the story? It came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? bid her, therefore, that she help me. This language to me is amazing. Jesus, don't you care? Let me tell you something right now. Anybody that looks at Jesus and says, don't you care, has got something wrong in their heart. Because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Amen. Jesus, don't you care? And then she fit in real good with this modern day stuff. They run into the throne room of God and command God what to do. Amen. She said, bid her. She said, you tell her to get in here and help me. Jesus, sometimes I like to just close my eyes and hear his voice. He'd be like, Martha, Martha, honey, you've got this all wrong. Mary's chosen the good part. And it's not going to be taken away from her. I tell you, when we get washed, we ought to go to worshiping. Amen. I'll say more about that in the home later in the series of messages. But I'll tell you this tonight, or this morning, we need to worship God. He's worthy. He's worthy. He said, you're careful. You're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. John chapter 4, he said to the woman at the well, the hour cometh, now is, that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. If you'll read your Bible, I don't know how many years ago I learned this. When it says God is a spirit, that is a capital S. But when it says they that worship him must worship him in spirit, that's a little s. And in truth. There's a truth being painted right there if we're not careful we'll miss. And that is this. True worship is not external. True worship is internal. The reason that little S is there, amen, is because it's talking about the spirit of man. We must worship him in spirit. Amen. It must come from the inside out. We must worship him in spirit. We must worship him in truth. Now, I'll say sometimes it'll get on the outside. Amen. When it starts on the inside. But if it didn't start on the inside, it's not real worship. It needs to start in the heart. The pleasant place of the heart. Jeremiah said, the pleasant places in the wilderness are dried up. How many of you ever went through something? I am going to ask for a show of hands. How many's ever gone through something, whether it was of your own making or not, and you knew that you were well on your way to drying up? How many knows what I'm talking about? Well on your way. That place that God had made pleasant, all of a sudden you look down in there and it's become calloused. All of a sudden you look down in there, instead of being tender-hearted, you're hard-hearted. All of a sudden, instead of worshiping him, all we want to do is murmur and complain. The Bible said here, my heart within me is broken. The land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their force is not right. How many believes? Laying up yonder in Charlottesville, that dear lady will have an impact on somebody's life while she's laying up there. Somebody will walk in that room and say, we can't figure this out. Amen. Because through it all, what'd you say, Sister Mary? Pastor, she's in good spirits. Amen. And I say, you and I, we go to work, we go to school, wherever we go, we need to see to it by the grace of God that our heart is a pleasant place. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being around people whose heart God has made a pleasant place. He's washed their heart. And now because their heart has been washed, their heart is submitted to Him in worship. They want to worship Him. I say this morning, things happened. Sometimes when things happen, it's not changing what's on the inside. Listen to me carefully. It's just revealing what's on the inside. I want to ask you this. If the Lord let us see down inside of you, would it be a pleasant place? Would it be a place of peace? Would it be a place of worship? Would it be a place of love? Would it be a place of forgiveness? Would it be a place that would look like Jesus' place? That's where He lives. If we're saved, amen, it ought to look like Jesus' place. A place that belongs unto Him. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you need your heart washed. If you're here today and you've been saved, you've drifted away, wayward, you need your heart washed. You'll only be saved once. But I tell you what, if you're ever going to walk in fellowship with God, you'll need to be washed over and over and over again. Amen. A washed heart. A worshiping heart. A heart that God has made a pleasant place. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for the privilege to be here. Lord, it's a joy to be here today. God, I pray this morning You'd speak to hearts. There's someone here today that say, preacher, my heart's not a pleasant place. It's nasty. Be fair with you, preacher. It's filthy. Oh, how I need to be washed this morning. I need Him to wash me, change me, cleanse me. This altar be a good place this morning. You've tried, you've tried, you've tried. Some have even tried to change and tried to do the right thing. What you need to do is trust Jesus. Who can say He's made His heart clean? Not one of us. But I tell you what you can do. You can come to Jesus and leave here saying, He made my heart clean. If you're here today and you're saved and there's something going on that's hindering your walk with God, don't leave here with that. I beg you in the name of Jesus, leave that on this altar. Father, take Your word now and speak to our hearts.